We're talking to you about the faith lens, and today specifically about the power of blessing. And I want you just to go over with me to Proverbs. And sometimes, you know things by memory, and you hear it so often that you are well aware of the verse. But it's important for you to eat the Word of God with your ears. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But also eat the Word of God with your eyes. To put it before your eyes and your ears and say things out of your mouth. And very familiar to so many people. And you'll find in the body of Christ, the application of this principle, it still escapes believers by the thousands, by the millions actually. And in Proverbs 18, verse 21, the scripture says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit." Confess that. Say, "My tongue has the power of life and death." It's important to understand that God has delegated authority in the mouth or the tongue of the believer. But you have to make up your mind, because it's not the only voice that's out there. God's voice is not the only one that exists. There's the voice of the enemy and religion. And you've got to make up your mind that your tongue lines up and squares with what God says instead of what everybody else says. And a critical area is, of course, what everybody says about you and thinks about you. I got an announcement to make. God's going to set you free today from the opinions of people for the rest of your life, if you'll receive it. And it's high time that you were delivered from that, because it's God's opinion that matters about you. You say, what is, in fact, the blessing? There are lots of things we could talk about that activate this blessing, but let's talk, first of all, about what it is. The blessing literally means the empowerment of God for you to succeed, for you to prosper, for you to excel, for you to increase, for you to have longevity. To bless means to say something good about. And when you bless, you actually empower the recipient of that blessing to succeed. It'd take you long to figure out the curse is actually the opposite of that. To curse, instead of empowering somebody to succeed, you're empowering somebody to fail. And you know, as believers, we should not be empowering people to fail. I'm going to say that again. As believers, we should not be empowering people to fail. We should be empowering people to succeed. But that becomes an individual choice as well as a discipline. To bless means to say good things about, to empower them to prosper, succeed, to excel, to bear much fruit, to have longevity, to actually increase. To curse means to say bad things about and empower them to fail. Like it or not, you live in a word-ruled universe. And you live in a life that is word-ruled. And believers need to learn how to speak in such a way that they're empowering themselves and others to succeed, because all the voices out there are dragging people down, pulling people down, telling them what they can't be, telling them what they can't do. At least there needs to be a voice in Murray, Kentucky that tells people what they can do in Christ, what they can have in Him, can have an amen. So we talk about this as in terms of highfalutin theological concepts, but you need to bring it down to the basic place where you live and breathe and exist every single day. Now, activating that blessing, it is blood activated. How many are glad that you're born again?
Amen.
If you're born again, you have the blessing. Amen. Of course, what you just heard, there's a connection between your life of giving and the blessing. There is, of course, a connection between you walking in love and the blessing. But a lot of people are born again. They're walking with God. They're striving to honor Him with the first fruits of all their increase, because honor and the blessing are connected. But they have to go back to this time and time again. What is actually coming out of their mouth, and what are we saying to other people? Are we empowering them? Are we helping to destroy their lives? Well, God has put us in position to be a blessing in this earth, not to be a curse to other people.
Amen.
But if individuals don't understand the blessing in their own lives and how to actually bless their own lives, they're not going to be much, in terms of helping other people be blessed and receiving that blessing themselves. I'm excited today because I understand from the Word of God that if you will receive this, not only can you walk in greater measure of the blessing of God, but you can let this church become the blessing church in Murray, Kentucky.
Amen.
I said the blessing church.
Yes.
Not the confused church, not the church in denial, not the anti-supernatural church, not the placebo church, but someone who doesn't even know you says, "Well, you bless them," and they say, "You must go to that blessing church." That's far better than going to that cursing church. Amen. Can I have an amen? James 3, I want you to see this. Again, put it before your eyes. Just looking at verse 9, James chapter 3. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have made in God's image or likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Turn to somebody and smile and say, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You can have blessing or you can have cursing, but you can't have the tongue actually doing both. And you and I were not made for cursing. We were made for blessing. Amen. Turn to somebody and smile and say, you were made for the purpose of blessing. Watch this. If you bless something or someone as a child of God, it's blessed. Amen. Your mindset goes to, well, God blesses and apostles bless, you know, the Pope blesses, but who am I? You're going to find out today that you are in fact discharged with that ministry of the blessing. Amen. And that's a mind renewal thing. That's a revelation issue. Nobody can just, you know, unzip your head and pour it in. You have to receive that from the Holy Ghost. But how many of you are willing to be taught about the nature of the blessing and your responsibility as a child of God? We bless, we don't curse. We talked about how that the blood of Jesus activates that blessing in our lives. Our giving, our honor for God activates that blessing, our walking in love. But I want you to understand a fundamental principle of the blessing, and that it is voice activated. If nothing's coming out of your mouth, it's not going to be active in your life or in the lives of the people that are around you. That's a funny thing. You and I have no problem cursing people with our mouth. Saying bad things about them or to them. But all of a sudden, if we flip the switch on that and say, well, let's concentrate on blessing people. Well, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Listen, if you're qualified to curse people, you're qualified to bless people. Come on, say, I'm qualified. I am sanctified. I am set apart. That, in fact, is what I do. I bless people. And you can bless people with works of service. You can bless people, certainly, with financial incentives. And it's a wonderful way to live, being a blessing to other people. But one of your primary, you know, responsibilities as a child of God is to take what He has given you and activate that blessing in your own life, but also towards other people, towards other circumstances, towards other things. That's who we are. Say it. If I bless something, I mean, say it like you actually believe it. If I bless something, it's blessed. Turn to somebody and say, if I bless you, you are blessed. In the Western culture, the blessing has been reduced to bless you. Or if you live in the South and you really want to insult somebody without insulting them, you say, bless your heart. Just feels a little disingenuous, doesn't it? Their heart may need to be blessed. But in reality, the blessing is voice activated. It means you say good things about them. It means you declare the word of God over them. It means you speak life over that person because there's so much death being spoken out there. In Proverbs 12:18, the scripture says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Say that boldly, say it confidently. My tongue is a tree of life. It's a source of life to other people. And you know, it is a funny thing that we'll treat total strangers with courtesy and respect in the things we say, and then turn right around and speak to the ones closest to us with absolute ignorance of Scripture. Amen? If you can treat a total stranger with respect, then you can talk to your family the right way. I'll take a better amen than that. Amen. I said I'll take a better amen than that, or we'll start the altar call right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 26:20, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. You produce the blessing and you protect yourself from calamity. Now, you know, however far we get with this today, we get, but the concept exploded into my heart because you have been taught a few things about the blessing. Say amen.
Amen.
You've been taught a few things about prosperity.
Amen.
Amen. The Apostle John said, I wish or pray above all things that I may prosper and be in health, even what? As your soul prospers. But there's a real issue that we have to deal with and we're going to come to terms with, and that is the concept of verbal prosperity. A lot of people are renewing their minds and getting mentally prosperous in terms of what they know from the Word of God. But the connecting point between being mentally prosperous, of course, it starts with being spiritually right with God, but mentally prosperous in your soul and the physicality, the manifestation of that blessing is what happens right here. If you aren't verbally prosperous, there's no way for your life to walk in a prosperous way. And I'm telling you, it's one of the big issues in the body of Christ. How we talk, you know, policing ourselves, making sure that we're on purpose, blessing other people and releasing that blessing. We're supposed to be a tree of life, not death. That when released by faith and accepted by faith on the other end, it produces the results in the material realm. Until our mouth is prospering, it's going to be hard for us to prosper or for others to prosper. So confess it and say, my mouth, my tongue is prospering. I have verbal prosperity. Now, I encourage you to take that and meditate on that for days and weeks and months, the longer it takes in your life, to understand you're not going to get very far if you don't make the connection between how your mind's been renewed and the manifestation of it. How many of you like to see things manifest?
Yes.
We pray, we say amen, and then there it is. But with our mouth, we can limit what God is doing because our mouths are not prosperous. How many know God wants you to be prosperous in every area? That just simply means well-being. He wants well-being in your mind, your emotions, in your body, in your finances, in your relationships, you know, at your job, but also in your mouth. It's not just a fresh mouth or a faith mouth. Say it, it's a prosperous mouth. Let me say it again. That blessing through verbal prosperity that when released by faith and accepted by faith on the other end produces the results in the material or the physical realm. It's important for you to bless by faith, and when you're talking to somebody, it's important for them to receive that. And some folks have a problem receiving that. Try to bless somebody's life, whether it's finances or a gift of service or whatever the case. Oh, no, I could never receive that. Learn how to receive as well as to give. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Don't ever block somebody's blessing because you won't receive what they're trying to do for you. There's some false humility. Amen? The bridge between that mental prosperity, the renewed mind, and physical prosperity, there it is a verbal prosperity where you begin to learn to bless. A brand new habit in your life of blessing people and blessing them on purpose. Saying good things about them. Empowering them to succeed with the words of your mouth. And you know, you might as well go ahead and start with you. You'd be amazed how many Christians sit under the Word, and when they're not in church or around other people, all they do is curse themselves. I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I'll never do anything, never have anything. Look at everybody else, aren't they great? Aren't they wonderful? God's blessing them. And you literally get up and you curse yourself. Well, those days are over. Those thoughts aren't coming from God, they're not coming from the Word of God. They're coming from the world, they're coming from the evil one. And it's time for you to get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and start blessing yourself.
Yes.
You say, well, shouldn't I just wait for somebody else to bless me? Why? Why wait for somebody else to fill in the blank? Beat them to the punch. Say it with me.
I'm going to bless myself.
Look in the mirror and say, Art, I bless you with peace. I bless you with victory. I bless you with joy. I bless you with the anointing. I bless you with increase. I bless you with wisdom today. I bless you going in and I bless you going out. And everything you touch today, amen, is blessed and prosperous in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I promise you, you start doing that in the morning, before you ever leave, you're going to have a great day.
Amen.
Say it, I am not cursed.
I am
blessed. So you bless yourself. Glory to God. Bless your spouse. I mean, on purpose. Has it come to that? Every day you bless yourself. And every day you bless them.
Amen.
I teach this when I'm doing, premarital, and some of you have been through that tormenting. Yes, you have. I teach them that one of the keys you can do to have a great relationship is to actually say something every day that will build the self-esteem of the person you're married to on purpose. And you say, why, Pastor Art? Because nobody in your life can do more to damage your self-esteem than the person you married. And nobody on the planet can do more to build your self-esteem than the person you got married to. And if you'll do that, I don't care if they're Christians or not. It helps. It's important for you to walk with God together, that you're on the same page, that you're equally yoked. But if Christians get married and believe in the Bible and Jesus and they're going to heaven, hallelujah, but they don't encourage one another daily, the couple that doesn't know God and does build the self-esteem will have a better marriage.
Yeah.
And there's enough destroyed marriages inside and out of the church to prove that out. So you bless them on purpose.
Yes. Yep.
You say good things about them on purpose. And don't be surprised when on occasion the Spirit of God comes on you and your blessing begins to turn into some kind of prophetic word over their life, where they begin to sense that something else is going on here. God is speaking to them through you. Gentlemen, you are the priests of your homes. If anybody can prophesy over your spouse, it is you. Fortunately, too many times it's criticism, and this isn't right, and that's not right, and why don't you do this, and why don't you do that? Stop cursing them and start blessing them. Well, I'd bless them if they'd straighten up. You don't understand. If you don't start blessing them, they're never going to straighten up.
Yeah.
If criticism is going to work, it would have worked already.
Right.
I saw a video. This lady was asked by her husband, you know, if I cheated on you, would you stay with me? And she goes, huh? If I cheated on you, would you stay with me? And she goes, yeah, I made vows. She said, I would stay with you until the very quick, tragic end of your life. My mama grew up, you know, with a dad who was like that, an alcoholic. And so when she got married to my dad, she said, you know, you step out on me, forget about divorce. I'll just kill you. Bless yourself. Bless your spouse. She or he has great potential on the inside of them that comes out the more they are empowered to succeed. Our people don't need that. They absolutely need that. Bless your kids. They're going to step into a world that all it does is curse them. Bless them. You know, George Foreman, I think he's going went home to be with the Lord, but he had a bunch of kids. You know what he named them?
George.
And somebody asked him, well, how do you know the difference? He goes, I don't know. I just tap them on the head as we're leaving and go, tell them have a good day. Bless your kids, no matter what their name is. Because somebody that day is going to say something to try to limit them or discourage them. What does God say about them? What do you see in their life? Pronounce it and prophesy it and bless them. Look at somebody and say, bless yourself.
Bless yourself.
Bless your spouse.
Bless your kids.
Bless your
kids.
Bless your job.
Bless your job.
I hate this job. I hate the people that are here. This is horrible. Start blessing where you're at and see God turn that thing around.
Amen.
Has it ever occurred to you, you might be there by assignment? Too many people, as Bill Winston says, looking for a job. They should be looking for an assignment from God. And you could be there to be the bright light, to be the witness. I don't want to be the witness. I just want some peace, bless God. Well, maybe you should just suck it up, Buttercup. And the Lord will direct your affairs, hallelujah. But you bless them. Has it ever occurred to you that if that job is blessed, if that business is blessed, amen, it affects a lot of people? Bless that job. Amen. Bless the people that are in management. Are you kidding me? I mean, it didn't take long to figure out, no matter where you go, that most of what you hear in a workplace is criticism and negativity about those that are in management and leadership. The funny thing is, people think they know how to manage until they're the one doing it. They think they know how to lead until they're called upon to lead, and they realize, oh, dear God, I didn't know this was that involved. And that's just the natural. And on top of that, the spiritual attacks that go with it. Amen. If I was the leader, you wouldn't last 5 minutes. Bless your church.
Amen.
Bless your ministers.
Yes.
Bless them.
Yes.
Empower them to succeed.
Yes.
Amen. It's not uncommon, for ministers to be the topic at a table during a pot roast. They do more roasting the pastor than roasting, amen, the food. In fact, you will find out today that it's not the world so much that's coming against the ministry. It's people that are so-called Christians. Do you know that 99% of what was said about Jim Baker was not true? Do you know that 99% of what was said about Brother Swaggart was not true? Do you know that 99% of what's said about Biddy Hinn is not true? Do you know 99% of what's said about Joyce Meyer is not true? And guess what believers do? They hear it and they run with it when they should be defending their brothers and sisters in the faith.
That's right.
You may want that, but I'm not going down that path. I'm a blesser, I'm not a curser. Can you see the stupidity of cursing those that are anointed to bring the good news? Stand behind pulpits and call people the mouthpiece of Satan. One person did that recently, and he's no longer alive. I'm telling you that God is judging this stuff. We need to be blessing people. Bless those locally and bless those around the world in ministry. You have no idea the devils they have to fight to do what they're doing. Bless them. Say, I'm going to bless my church. I'm going to bless my pastor. I'm going to bless my board. I'm going to bless my teachers. I'm going to bless those working with kids. I'm going to bless those on the platform. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Because you have that power.
Yes.
Say, I have the authority and the power to bless. Remember, blessing and cursing should be coming from the same well.
Amen.
Bless your nation. Or I don't like so-and-so, and I don't like that election, and I don't like who's in the White House, blah, blah, blah. Dear God, you're bound not to like somebody in the White House. I just hope it goes down. Do you realize that you're flying in the same 747 the rest of us are?
That's exactly right.
And when you're cursing the pilot, you're sitting in the back seat. That is the very definition of stupid. Well, I hope that guy has a heart attack and dies up there in the cockpit. Let me help you out here. Do you realize that 99% of what's said about Trump is not true?
That's right.
You say, well, that 1%, though, I can't stand. See, there you go again. Yes, absolutely. He has some growth areas. But bless those people who have been given charge. Pray for them because you're on the same aircraft. Hallelujah. Did you know that the blessing is your inheritance?
Yes, it is.
The empowerment to succeed, to prosper, to have longevity, bear much fruit, to excel, to increase, to go to the highest level, it's your inheritance. It was God's idea. And in Genesis chapter 1, God blessed them and said, immediately, the first words that a human being ever heard were words of the blessing. How many can say thank God? Abraham was blessed by God. The scripture tells us that Melchizedek blessed Abram with his blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Genesis 14, 19. Do you know that Abraham blessed Isaac? This is said at the end of his life, Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. What does that sound like to you? The blessing. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac, eastward to the east country. Why? Because one had the blessing, the rest of them, amen, got gifts. But I mean, there's a big difference between a gift and the blessing. Isaac blessed Jacob, Genesis 27, 35. Yes, there was some deception involved in that, but how many know Jacob obviously, you know, wanted and valued the blessing. And Esau, all he valued was his appetite.
Yeah.
Amen. Jacob blessed his sons in Genesis 49. Why, incidentally, would Jacob go through all that trouble to get the blessing of his father Isaac? Because to him, it wasn't just words. Words are released and it causes manifestation. That's where we are as a Western civilization, disconnected from Judaism, where they understood covenant and the blessing. We have to be taught these things, that it's not just words. When you bless somebody, you're imparting something to them. Jesus, the Lord told us in the scripture that He commanded Moses and Aaron to bless the people. You've never heard this before. The Lord bless you. Well, God doesn't want his people blessed. Then why did he command the high priest to bless the people at every occasion? Why? You know how it goes. The Lord bless thee. Come on, say it with me. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon and be what? Be gracious unto thee. Why do you say that? No, don't go in peace yet. I'm not done with you. Just, if you go, you're not going in peace, bless God. But you think about that. The Lord bless thee, empower you to succeed and prosper, and keep thee, preservation and power. Make his face to what? Shine upon thee, favor on you. And on. You study this out and you find out that it's absolutely the forefront of God's mind and will that his people be blessed. I said this before, but you know, Leonard Nimoy, you know, played Spock on Star Trek for years. He was raised Orthodox Jew, and you know, they were told to face towards Jerusalem as the, you know, the rabbi would stand up and issue the blessing. He would do something like this. And oftentimes when we look at he turned around one day because he wanted to know what they were doing as they were invoking the blessing. The same blessing in Numbers 6, the same blessing that we release you with every single week. He turned around and he saw the rabbi doing this. And that is where live long and prosper came from. Every person who ever heard him say in a Star Trek movie or on television, live long and prosper, was being invoked the very blessing of Numbers chapter 6 that he learned as a boy. You should go back and watch some of them, amen. And he just assumed that that meant something, but you know what? Culturally it does, but it's the word, it's the blessing that really empowers us. Can I have an amen? Christ blessed his disciples on his ascension in Luke chapter 24. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and soon was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Watch this. The first words a man ever heard were words of the blessing, Genesis 1. Jesus raised from the dead. And what does he say the last words are as he's going up? The blessing. God was blessing minded when he made man. God was blessing minded when he redeemed man. I got a feeling, you know what? When we're all gathered together, the dead in Christ are raised, amen, and we which remain are caught up in the clouds, I believe the first thing he's going to say is, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. It's eternal. And somehow, you know, it doesn't get on the inside of so many people, but it should. Blessing consciousness, blessing minded, and with our mouths, blessing other people. In fact, you and I are called to be what I call agents of the blessing.
Yes.
Put a big smile on your face and say, I am an agent of the blessing. I just don't receive the blessing and walk in the blessing. I what? I share that. I'm an agent of that. I speak that over other people. Amen. Number one, how does an agent of the blessing operate? You're blessed to bless. You've got to understand that you, in fact, are blessed. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Bible tells us that you are blessed, and through you I will bless all the nations of the earth. Say it, I am blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it one more time, I'm blessed to be a blessing. According to Galatians 3, you and I have been redeemed from the curse, and the blessing given to Abraham has been restored to you and to me. Put a smile on your face and say, he redeemed me in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles by faith. Have you received it today?
Amen.
Say it with me. I am blessed. But I'm blessed to what? To be a blessing. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, if it's not blessing, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Number two, you're not just blessed to be a blessing. How many can say God has blessed me?
God has.
Raise your hand and say, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. God has blessed me. You're not just blessed to bless, you're called to bless. You are literally called by God to bless others. Everybody in this room has a calling. Well, I don't have a calling, I'm not a minister. You have a calling according to Scripture. I want you to see this. Go over with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Say it boldly. Say, I'm so blessed. Even the blessed people call me blessed.
Even the blessed.
Say collectively, we're so blessed. Even the blessed people call us blessed. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, sympathy, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Harmonious, sympathetic, compassionate, humble is what we should be. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. You're called to bless people. Lord, what am I called to do today? You're called to bless somebody. You're called to speak blessing over their lives. What would happen if every day you blessed yourself? If you blessed your spouse, if you blessed your kids, and you went out and said, God, I want you to lead me to somebody today that I can bless. Now, you run into some folks that are weird that aren't blessed by some kind of a seed or act of service or some kind word, but I promise you that the idiot that came up with sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me was a total idiot. But the flip side of that is, what if we're not doing that with words? What if we are blessing people? I've seen this, you know, just simple things like my wife will comment on some lady's hair at a restaurant or a server, and you can literally see life jump into that person's eyes.
Yes.
Now, husbands, let me give you a tip. Let her do the complimenting of the lady's hair. Don't you do it, or you're likely to get a curse. Why would that matter? The way a lady's hair, it's an extension of her.
Mm-hmm.
It matters.
It does.
And usually, ladies, you're the worst critics of each other.
Yeah.
When you should be blessing each other.
Yeah.
Don't they get enough negativity in this world that it shouldn't be coming from ladies on ladies? I've seen it time and time again. A kind word, a compliment, and boom, life. What if that was happening to that person every single day of their life? What would happen? Imagine you let God use you to bless somebody, to encourage somebody, to on purpose go out today. Even today, I'm going to go out and find somebody and I'm going to bless them. Amen. And it's not up to you whether they receive it or not. I promise you this, most people you run into are starving for it. Even in the house of God, other Christians in our town, starving for a blessing. Amen. You're not just blessed to bless. You're actually called to bless. It's about time we answer that call. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And go out here and bless people. There is no calling to curse or to gossip about or slander or accuse. We're called to empower others with our words. The command to bless the people remains, and we are all, in fact, called to do it. In fact, you say, no, Pastor, see, I'm not a priest. That's what Aaron did. I'm not a rabbi. That's what the rabbi did. I'm not a pastor. That's what you did. According to Scripture, Revelation 1:6, you and I are all part of a kingdom of priests. So change your thinking here. Renew your mind. Say, I am, in fact,
a priest.
If you are, then you stand in the power and the authority and dominion and anointing of Christ, and what you say has weight. You could find somebody today and speak life into them, and it would impact their life for all eternity. Because there's more to you than you think you are. Say it, in reality, I am part of a kingdom of priests. Glory to God. Say it, I'm blessed to bless. I'm called to bless. Number three, I'm anointed to bless. Where there is a calling, there's always an anointing to do what we're called to do. When we bless with our mouth, we release the anointing available through Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. Isaiah 61 speaks of what the anointed one would do. Luke 4, Jesus preaches this sermon. He takes the scroll from Isaiah 61 and he talks about the fact that he will preach and then back this up with a release of that anointing. How many are so excited and know that in these end times, God's going to do more of the miraculous than he has ever done? Not to prove his divinity, but to release his nature and his goodness. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen by people like you having a revelation of the blessing. That when that happens, blind eyes are opened by the blessing. People are restored in terms of their body parts and their lives because of the blessing. They're delivered because they are blessed. They're provided for because they are blessed. In other words, we're going to bless people to the miraculous in this church. Say it, the blessing matters. Say it, I am an agent of the blessing. When you bless because of the anointing, it brings healing. You walk up to somebody struggling in their health, I bless you with healing in Jesus' name. It's part of your atonement. It's part of what he died to give you. It brings deliverance. It brings prosperity, it brings hope, it brings forgiveness, it brings restoration. We release the anointing when we bless with our mouth. Again, the issue is, to what degree do we possess verbal prosperity in our lives? Are you here today? Say it with me, I am blessed to bless. Say it, I am called to bless. Say it, I am anointed to bless. When you bless somebody in Jesus' name, you're releasing the full force of that anointing and that ability. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that most folks have little to no revelation in terms of what God's getting ready to do through this end time body of Christ. But a marching army of those who know who they are in Christ. And they bless people on purpose. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to bless that young man out of that chair in Jesus' name. We're going to bless that blind person, have eyesight again. We're going to bless that person who has been addicted all their life. We're going to bless them. We have to maintain the posture of not just being blessed, but of bestowing that blessing on others. And just, you know, 12 disciples can turn the world upside down. What's in this room right now?
Hallelujah.
Can turn this calorie, and the, you know, calorie, not just calorie, but all the counties around, can absolutely turn it into a festival of the blessed of God.
Amen.
Is there anyone here that graciously receives the blessing from God? You thank God you're empowered to succeed. You're empowered to excel. You're empowered to increase. You're empowered to go to the next level. You're empowered to bear much fruit. Don't even worry about if the person that you're talking to understands everything. If they ask you, it's a great sermon starter. I'm glad you asked what the blessing is. The very first words God ever said to man, the very last thing Jesus said before he was ascended on high, amen, the words of the blessing. And I bless you. Amen. When you're tempted to be negative, bless. Hallelujah. Who hasn't been there? You know, when someone's ugly to you, amen, belligerent towards you, dishonest and deceptive, slanderous and all that kind of stuff. Your first reaction is not to. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call them on the phone and bless them. In fact, we've even preferred to this concept. Have you heard the phrase, they got blessed out? That doesn't mean that somebody bestowed the blessing on them. It means they did just the opposite. Amen? It's part of our maturity that when you feel that way, instead of releasing your flesh, you release the anointing by blessing them. Amen. Say, I am blessed to bless. I am called to bless. And I am anointed to bless. Stand to your feet and say it like you mean it. Say it. I am blessed to bless. I'm called to bless. I'm anointed to bless. Every day, you're going to bless your spouse. You say, what if I don't have a spouse? Then you get to bless yourself twice.
That's right.
Paul said in this life, you know, a married person has a gift and so does a single person. That sounds like a double blessing to me. Amen. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to say this. Say, I bless myself in Jesus' name. I empower myself to prosper, succeed, excel, increase, bear much fruit, have longevity. I bless myself in Jesus' name. Said, I bless my spouse in Jesus' name. I say good things over them. I bless my kids. I say what they are and who they are in Christ. I bless my job and the managers and the owners. I bless my church and my leaders. I bless my nation and its leaders. I'm called to bless. I'm not called to bellyache, complain, criticize, demean. I'm called to bless. I'm blessed to bless. I'm called to bless. I'm anointed to bless. From this point on, I grow in verbal prosperity. Say it, I am prosperous verbally. And when I bless somebody, there's an anointing released to bring that blessing to pass in their lives. Everywhere I go, I am an agent of the blessing. Come on, give him a big hand clap and thank him.